All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride. This wild ride called life.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Truths Behind Podcast, and I'm really excited right now because Tara Ruby. So I met Tara. Oh my gosh. Years ago, she was my daughter's photographer, and that's what got her started into doing, was it pinup, or I don't even know what it was. Was it pinup?
We did everything. We've done pinup, boho, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and her senior pictures. So she's like our family photographer, and no one else can have her. But she also takes these amazing pictures of newborns that are like, I want a baby just to do it. But besides all those amazing things, Tara is my friend, and she's an Air Force veteran, and she's going to just talk about real life here. So if you're listening or you're watching, excuse my facial expressions because I'm really a dork, but I don't care. So real life stuff. So Tara, seriously, thank you for being here.
No problem. It's been a long time coming.
Okay, so tell us who Tara is before we talk about the 5 million hats that you wear.
Tara's a hot mess, like I think. I feel like every day I change into something that I say I'm not going to be, but then you end up being. I am a spouse. My husband's still Army, hence the nice Army number behind us. He's a forever long. He's going to be in the Army till they kick him out. My son is getting ready to join the Army, so I am a mom. I have three children. I have a son who's literally about to graduate at BMI, and has decided to give me a heart attack and is going to go fly helicopters. No extra pressure, right? And then I have a son in California, and then my daughter just recently moved in and lives living with us. So that has been a new change. I am a photographer. I do all kinds of stuff, from the Army breastfeeding photo to working with newborn babies, to working with your family and your dogs. I remember dog shots.
Oh, yes, my dog
shots. we recently became homeowners. We're literally closing on our second house right now because we're getting ready to move back to Fort Bliss. And we have a farm. So we juggle a lot, and I juggle a lot all the time. So I'm just busy. That's a hot mess who's busy.
How did you even get into photography?
You know, my ex-husband and I had a Rottweiler kennel. And we used to breed our Rottweilers. So to sell your puppies, you'd have to have really good pictures. So I was actually in the middle of getting my IT degree. So I was learning how to build websites, and then putting a good quality picture of the animal that you're trying to sell on a website. It kind of all went together. And then I started taking pictures of my kids. And then my ex-husband and I got a divorce. I actually pawned all my stuff. And then when my husband and I got married, I moved to El Paso before him, because Fort Bliss was our first duty station. And I was really bored because I had just gotten there, didn't know anybody. And he was like, well, why don't you just go get a camera? I know you like taking pictures. And that's kind of what started it. So I started doing it as a hobby, started working with Freedom Crossing, which is the outdoor shopping center that they have there on post. And then that kind of led into meeting people and starting to do pictures on the outside. And I was working with ADT, and I had a boss who was having a really hard time with me being a mom and trying to like juggle, you know, the kids visiting and the Army lifestyle. And so I called my husband and I was like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, well, if you put in your 2-week notice, you better hope your business takes off. And that was in 2010. And I've been a photographer ever since full time. So I guess it kind of took off.
Oh my gosh, you kind of. You've only worn won some prestigious awards and part of a large photography club. I don't even know what to call it.
I've done a lot. I've competed. The Army breastfeeding photo went ridiculously viral. We trended number one on Facebook. At one point, I was trumping Trump on Facebook, which was kind of hard to do at the time. We literally thought that picture was going to be part of a Republican debate because it was right when the presidential debate was happening. So I learned that I have a voice, and I learned it in a very weird way because, people say, pictures are worth more than 1,000 words. You hear all these things. But one person can change a lot. I mean, 2 weeks later, the Army had a policy supporting breastfeeding in uniform. They said they'd been working on it for a while, but it's kind of convenient that 2 weeks after my picture went viral, it kind of was there. And then we've seen so much progressive change in the Army for moms, and not even just in the Army, all over the branches, for moms in uniform while they're breastfeeding or pumping or, have at it. Like, even the time they get to take off now afterwards has changed. So I've learned so much just from photography, and it was definitely never something that I thought I was going to do. But here we
Yeah.
are. I, kind of changed things.
Kind of, just a little bit.
Little. Just a little.
And people know you because I know on some of my social media, somebody says, "Oh my gosh, I recommended you on a Facebook page for photographers," and someone reached out and was like, "I know, I've been following Tara Rubio, so you're famous."
I'm not somebody like I'm actually a very private person, and when you go that big that quick, you don't get to be private. At some point we had to turn people away. My image is actually in the Army, the Women's Army Museum up at Fort Lee. So that kind of changes things a little bit too, but I really just want to be private, and I don't I have a hard time accepting, when people want to fan all over me, and it's like literally I'm a normal person that deals with farm stuff all day long. I don't so it still amazes me that years, because that was in 2015, so that 6 years later people are still caring about this, and it's interesting and very humbling at the same time.
Yeah, you are the most humble person for the amount of work you do and for the recognition. You are just Tara Ruby. That's You just want to be Tara Ruby. That's it.
Yeah, I just want to do what I like and keep everybody around me happy and sane, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah. So you joined the Air Force at what age?
I was 18. I was 2 weeks out of high school. I mean, I literally graduated, went right to basic, which in hindsight was a horrible decision. I really think I wish I had taken a summer off. And I also wish that I had not went to basic in San Antonio in the summer. That was horrible. I mean, I know I was Air Force and we all have the jokes, right? I get it. But San Antonio in the summer is horrible. But I joined the military. I went into Space Command. So I'm a big supporter of Space Force. You can laugh if you need to, it's okay. But I think that there's a very important job in that career field. And I really wish now in my 40s that I could have went back and was really understood how important that job really was. And there was so much stuff that happened during my military career, but I got to go to Germany. I got to see, a lot of Europe. So I mean, I'm glad that I went in. It's You can't go in the military and not say that it's not life-changing. Because it is. And either way, good or bad, negative or positive, something changed when you joined the military.
So how long did you plan on staying in?
I have no idea.
You were
Like, I
just
don't know if I joined up saying I'm going to do this for forever. I got married, I had a child, and that kind of changes your perspective on what you want to do. And like you were just talking about, I see the female soldiers now getting, 12 weeks off, and they don't have to deploy for 6 months or up to a year. Breastfeeding, I have a helicopter literally flying around me. Sorry, but I didn't. I had to quit breastfeeding at 6 weeks because my ex-husband and I worked at the same unit, so we had to rotate our shifts, and our shifts could be up to 12 hours. And so I wore a flight suit, trying to breastfeed in a flight suit, trying to pump in a breast or a flight suit, trying to pump in a very male dominated career field. There wasn't a lot of girls still in the military. I mean, we had a couple, but it was definitely still male dominated. It was very challenging. And so I think that kind of started the end of, you know, this isn't for me. And I have a hard time taking orders from guys. There's a line, you know, my counselor would sit down and give you like a detailed reason about why I have a hard time taking orders from guys. But when you don't have the right leadership, and I still see this in today's world, because my husband's still active duty. If you have bad leadership and you have really good soldiers, it doesn't matter how good that soldier is. That leadership can make or break a career. So yeah. You have a really good person who's doing their best. And instead of coming in and trying to teach them, you have somebody that just feels like they're just going to kick them out or, you know, whatever the reason is, that'll ruin. So I think if I had had a little bit better leadership, a little more program, a little more somebody who sat and just cared about what was going on with me, I think things would have been different and I would have stayed in a lot longer. Because even now, I'm like, man, if I could get down to weight, that's the only thing that's stopping me is to get down to weight, because I think I would go back in, because I still think deep down inside I have this urge to serve. And it's very frustrating to look back and be like, man, if I had just had one person sit with me and talk to me and shake some sense into the 21-year-old who thought they knew everything, maybe things would have been different.
Yeah. So now, are you in a place where you ever thought you would be? I mean, did you foresee yourself being this photographer and living on this farm? Is that something that you had wanted to do?
No. I mean, I grew up with my grandparents, and my uncles had animals growing up. So I remember going to my uncle's house, and he had a cow and a pig and chickens, and it's for meat. I mean, we're raising for meat. But when I moved here to Georgia, we actually met a gentleman here named John Jackson. So if he watches this, John, this is all your fault. He runs Comfort Farms here in Georgia. And the concept behind it is that, you know, we hear all these aspects of veteran services and support networks and systems out there that they're placed to help us. So first of all, you have to understand that you have a problem. I have a problem. That, you know, we've talked, I have MST issues, I have PTSD issues, things that I didn't want to talk about, things I didn't want to deal with. And so John has created this thought process that going out and farming is therapy, and going out and working in the land and working with your animals. And one of the things that he says all the time is that you give your best to your friends. And so it started a fire. I mean, it's not even, I don't even know if a fire is the word, but I want to raise animals, and I want to learn how to process them, and I want to learn how to make amazing food with it. And I want to bring all my friends and family to my table and have really good moments eating, drinking, having, you know, good conversation. And I think we're getting away from that family table feeling. And that goes back to my grandmother's kitchen. The center of her house was her kitchen. So I think it just kind of all, like, it was like an aha moment, like, this is what I want to do. And the joy that you get from doing it, and it's a therapy, because I can spend hours outside, and I'm lifting 800 pounds of food, and I'm doing physical labor. And when you do physical work, it helps you sleep at night, and it helps your system. And you have to take care of yourself, because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your animal. So it's, I have learned so much from this, and we've been doing it for 3 years almost now, in some way or the other. The last full year, well, it's been a little over a year now, we've actually had our farm, and now we're moving our farm because I don't want to give it up. So I'm like, if we have to move, I'm taking my farm with me. Like, that's just how it is.
Oh my God.
So it's been nowhere near what I thought. I don't know if I ever sat down and said, you know, I want to do this when I'm 40, because it's a lot of work when you're in your 40s.
But I can see how happy it makes you. I mean, you do process, you do process that meat. I mean, you will post pictures. I'm like, oh my God, she's doing all of that.
And she's really doing that.
She's really doing it.
We do. And it's so impressive. And I could sit here, I mean, we'd be here forever, talking about the reasons why. I mean, but now my daughter's here, my daughter's doing it. My husband gets out, he does it. Our life has changed so much in the last year. And we're homeowners, that's a big deal. I mean, it's my first house I've ever owned. So that's a big deal. But the fact that I can do this and it's fun and it's a lot of work and it takes your mind off of stuff. And, you know, it's really funny. Here's the biggest difference. A year ago, if you wanted to get a hold of anybody, somebody would call me because they knew I'd have my phone on me. Now they call my daughter. Because they know that I'm not going to have my phone. I'm going to be outside doing something. I'm not going to have cell phone service. I'm going to have my hand stuck in something that you don't want to know about. It's just because it's just that much for freeing. You don't, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. And it's just hard to deal with. So why deal with it? I mean, not that I'm running away from anything, you know, but it's, there's more stuff to do than just sit on and look on social media and can like, you know, fire that negativity all the time. And so we were like, no, we're not going to do that. So this was a huge change, and we've had a blast doing it. It's a lot of work, but it's definitely rewarding.
I think that's amazing, though. That's, and that we should talk about that more, because there's so much more than the traditional ways of getting therapy. Not that it's bad, not that it's bad, but there are so many other ways than just taking the pill, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so well, I'm actually talking about pills. I was glad that you mentioned that. I don't take any medicine. The VA hates me. I literally quit taking any kind of medication. Every once in a while, I'll get a really bad migraine, and I move over to taking some Tylenols. But I've met a lot of amazing people through Comfort Farms, and the people here in Georgia, and even the people, you know, that come to visit and then leave. So I have all this new network of people. And my husband was and is still dead set against anything marijuana, yeah. Anything remotely related to anything that isn't something that the military issues. Like, that's how he thinks. But we have, he deployed. And so I was home by myself. What a great time to try new thoughts and processes, right? And I mean, everything I buy is legal. That was the agreement that we made. If we can't buy it legally, we're not getting it. And so I do have a very hard time sleeping. I'm a very ADHD person. I'm very active. And there are those demons that come back, and they come back usually at night, especially when you're all by yourself. And so I was like, I can't do this. I cannot run my farm and my business and my life and my family if I can't sleep. Like, sleep has to be the very first thing. And so we have had numerous conversations with numerous people. Like, if you're going to give me Ambien, why couldn't I just go into the vape store and get something that helps me sleep there? It's non-addictive. It's not the mind-altering chemicals that we don't know what really is in that pill. It is an all-natural product. And so I'm going to say for at least the last solid 4 months, I definitely, it's a cute little gummy, and then I chew it and it tastes amazing. And then I sleep really good at night. I wake up the next morning refreshed, ready to go. I don't take it every night. I take it when I need it. And I was kind of, you know, when you have kids, you don't want drugs. Drugs are bad. Drugs are horrible. We've been taught that since we were in school. So what is out there that is legal that'll help me? And why is this such a big issue? So now that I've been actively participating in this, I don't understand the negativity behind it. And so I finally got a VA doctor who was phenomenal. And when you find a doctor like that at the VA, you kind of hold on to him as tight as you can. And she was like, if it's working for you, you do what you got to do for you, and you got to do what you do for your family. I'm not pushing anything on you if you don't want to do it. And so we literally, so I found a really good doctor at the VA. So I have a service dog. I got a service dog because I met somebody at Comfort Farms that runs SD Gunner here in Georgia. So I have Tango. He's my service dog. And then we started talking to my doctor at the VA that I was literally seeing another doctor, and she walked by and I happened to talk to her, and I instantly like was like, you have to be my doctor. Like, oh my gosh. And she was like, if taking this gummy every night works for you, you do it. And that's hard to find in the VA, because the VA is usually not like that.
Yeah.
And now we're moving, so now I have to find another doctor. but I mean, the concept that there's stuff out there that's from the ground, that isn't some synthetic whatever crap. I mean, we really have moved back to just taking care of ourselves, taking care of our body, eating natural stuff, eating things that we know where it's coming from, has changed our life. I'm not saying it's changing my weight, but it's changing how we feel during the day and the energy level. And I don't, you know, I just completely medicine free. And there's not a lot of people that I think that go to the VA that can say that, because I feel like sometimes they push the medicine on us and I'm not taking it.
No, I mean, and you're right. It's very hard to come by people who at the VA who's going to agree with that. So, I think it's amazing that she said, you know, if it works for you, then take it. So, there are a lot of misconceptions out there because I don't think that people are properly educated. So, I mean, I know here in this household, this person is so against it, but I'm like, well, let me try it. So, it's like,
We were there.
yeah.
We're
So,
there. We still have, I mean, the agreement was that nothing's going to be illegal. Like,
yeah.
I mean, because I mean, at the end of the day, my husband's still active duty.
Yep.
So we've even had conversations like, well, what if they legalize it? Because if it's legal, then it's legal for me. But
Yeah.
his response is, well, I'm a federal employee. It's not going to be legal for me. So the you have to give and take in relationship, right? Like I want to
Yeah.
be right all the time, dang it, because that's just how we are. But my spouse says, these are the reasons why I feel. And I said, well, this is the reasons I feel. And we've come upon the agreement that nothing's going to be illegal. So if I can legally walk into the vape shop and there's something there that works for me, that can't be any different than taking NyQuil
Yeah.
or, you know, well, all these other bajillion medicines that are out there. And I just never, first of all, I'm ADHD. I have a really hard time taking a pill every day at the same time. It's not happening. I've tried setting alarms. I've tried sticky notes. I've tried, and I'm like, you know, I can't do it. Like, I just can't do it. So why stress? One more stress is horrible. Like, I'm trying to reduce stress, not add stress. And so this is just there. It's available if I need it. If it calms you down a little bit, if it makes life a little bit easier. I mean, we're doing it smart. Even though it's legal, I'm not going to take something and then get in the car and drive. You know, there's just certain things that you just have to be an adult and be smart about it. But to find that one person in the VA that supports it. And I know medical marijuana has been a huge conversation for a while, but look, I didn't have this problem when I joined the military. I have a problem now because of the military. I feel the VA needs to jump on board with if my choice, because you have to be your personal advocate, if my choice is I don't want to be medicated, find me something else. And so I've also learned that you have to go away from the VA. Like going out to Comfort Farm, finding these networks of individuals that are out there that understand that you feel this way and that they feel this way, and they have ways of making things easier, better, talking to them about what to take, how do you take it, you know, is there something else you can do, like farming. God, I would have never thought this is where I would have been, but because of the networking and the people that I've gotten to know, now I know this is out there, now I know it's available and it's working. So
Yeah.
it's an amazing concept. It's been years. I mean, years. I got out of the military when I was 22. I could have been doing this for the last 20 years. And that's a long time to have to deal with something on your own.
It is. It is. It's really sad, but I'm so glad that you found your thing. And it's making
Think
you
so.
happier.
I think so. I think so. I mean, it doesn't make the problem go away. I don't want
Right.
anybody to watch this and think, you know, well, if I go out and I get some goats and some pigs, life is going to be great and wonderful. Absolutely not. There are still challenges and challenges daily. If you're following me right now, my life is so crazy right now. It's ridiculous. Like I'm talking to you outside of Post Starbucks. Like it's just crazy. But you find ways, and you have to find your individual ways. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? And that isn't going to make me happy. And for
Right.
forever, I'd watch people and I'm like, well, that's making them happy. So it must be making me happy. And that's not it. Like you literally
Right.
have to wait until that moment where you just like, this makes me happy. Who would have thought
Yeah.
this makes me happy? And then like hold on to it and just go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. So what is your plans then? Like, so you're gonna move back to El Paso and you're gonna have a farm and a house, and
Well,
what do you want to do next?
we're hoping. I mean, we're literally waiting to close. Like, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, one day soon, we're closing. We actually bought property in El Paso that zoned this farm and ranch so that we can take our animals with us. We're taking a lot of babies with us. We kind of weeded out our adult animals, and that way we can kind of start fresh down there. Gary's already slotted to move in 2024. It's already on the calendar. The Army's back to wanting to move every 3 years again. We were really lucky. We were at Bliss for 7 years before we came here. We've been here for four. Now we're going back there. So it's not like it's a new duty station. I have a lot of friends still there. I have clients still there. So I'm kind of
Yeah.
excited about going back because it's not, it's, I'm, we're lucky. It's not a new, you know, they're not putting me in a hole in the wall somewhere. I know where I'm going. But the goal is that he's going to re-enlist in DEF while he's there. And then we're going to hope to come back here and we'll probably retire here in Georgia. There's some property here that we actually really like. So, I mean, unless something changes, but you know, I quit planning a long time ago because as soon as you make a plan, the Army and the DOD find a way to, oh, like I told my commander, I mean, we bought our house here. And we closed the end of February. We found out the end of July that we were moving. So I went into Gary's commander and I said, I'm convinced that there's somebody in DOD or in the Army that their only job is to flag when you get a house and they give you orders. Like they just wait until you get a house. Like it's just how it works. So we don't, we're not going to make too many plans because there's just so much that can change. And then being military, ooh, it's getting windy here. Being military, it's like opening up the map and saying, where do you want to retire? Because, you know, we like this, we like this, we like this. I mean, we had a conversation earlier today, like, well, what if we retired outside of the US? Like, where would we go if we didn't have to stay here in the United States? So who knows? I mean, I quit trying to make plans. I can say I'd like this to happen, but I mean, honestly, I want to make sure my kids are okay. It's a crazy life at the moment. Like our world is crazy. The US is kind of crazy. So if I can just make sure my kids are safe and that I have a house that no matter what happens for them, they can come home. So I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how dumb you've been. You know, look, I know what it's like to be young and make stupid decisions. Like I want them to know that they can always come home no matter where I am. So that I think is important. I mean, we're military. A house is just what's inside the house for us, not the house. I'm not going to get super attached to a house at this point. But we'll see. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll all live on Mars and we don't, you know, maybe Mars is the place to go. So I don't, you know, who knows? Everything has been so, the last few years have just been so crazy and things get thrown at you and you like things that you never thought you would like. So it's hard to say where I'll be in 5 years and 10 years. I know. I'm gonna feel a lot better than I thought I was gonna feel. Because if you had talked to me about 5 years ago, I'd have been like, I'm gonna be in a nursing home by 60, and I don't know if that's the case anymore.
Which
So,
is huge. That's really huge. Because you were not in this place years ago. So now it's better. It's better.
It is. It's better. Is it perfect?
No,
No, but
but
it's better.
right. Oh, I'm so glad. I mean, I can't wait to see what you do next.
I don't know. I
I
think
know.
there's so many ideas. I mean, even in the farming community, it's still very male. So it's kind of a challenge. I've had some moments where I've had to walk away and kind of really check my feelings because, you know, sometimes it's just a male-dominated world. But I mean, if this is working for me and my family, I mean, who knows? Maybe somewhere along the way, I'll start teaching other, you know, other wives, other women, other military sexual trauma survivors that this is a path, this is an opportunity, and this is the rewards and the feeling, you know, instant gratification is very real in this world. Who knows? I mean, maybe we'll be teaching something somewhere along the way.
That would be awesome because it is needed, though, you know. We have to be self-sufficient as ourselves. So I think that'll be really great. Oh, where can people find you on this adventure?
Oh dear goodness. So I started TikTok, which I don't know if it's really good or really bad. I was really, I mean, my daughter's just turned 16, and TikTok is a very scary place. You hear a lot of scary things. And then I think somebody told me, you do know that there's people on TikTok that post recipes. And that's what started it. That's what started it. So, you know, any social media has really good and really bad. And so I've been trying to focus on the really good. So now my daughter wants me to dance on TikTok. I don't know if we're there. But my husband does not want to be on TikTok. So we've had some real rules, but we are getting ready to document our entire PCS. And I mean, it's going to be, it's a two-part, two-trip, three-U-Haul kind of trip. And so we have promised, because there's been a lot of people that have asked, and I don't know if it's more because they're nosy or curious, or they just want to laugh at us, or people that actually kind of maybe want to do the same thing and think, hey, I'm in the military and I could never do this, because who moves a farm while they're active duty?
Tara does.
I do. So we're gonna document how we do this on TikTok, and it's just Tara Ruby. So you can just look under my name and find me. And I don't have a massive amount of videos on there yet. Like, we're real picky about what we put on there because I do own a business, so you kind of have to make sure that it's all PG. Very country, very farm. That's all we want to put on there, is just how we manage to live a military life and do something like this, because it's not easy, but it's doable. It's
Yeah,
doable.
my God. What about all your adorable pictures?
They are all on Facebook. Well, my website is my name, TaraRuby.com. And then I'm on Facebook at Facebook.com/TaraRuby. And then, of course, Instagram is on there too. It's TaraRuby Photography. We haven't really posted a lot. We closed the studio here the end of January, and then we're hoping to get back shooting in April. I have definitely some sessions in April. We're still kind of debating on where we're going to have a studio, because that's always a challenge, because we know we're only going to be there for a few years. So once we get that all figured out, we'll be in the studio and we'll shoot newborns. I mean, my vendors are ready to have baby pictures again. They're like, when are you? Oh my God, when are you shooting? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, we're trying. We're trying. So hopefully sooner than later. I'm so bummed that I'm missing the Easter season, because that's,
I
cute
know.
bunny pictures. And we have cute baby bunnies, so it's really frustrating that we can't use them. But I mean, it's okay. There's always another year, but hopefully soon, and then we'll be posting everything, like I said, all over the place, so everybody knows what we're doing, where we're going.
My gosh. Well, I'm so excited for you, and I know you can make it happen. It'll be a process, it'll be a story for sure, but it'll
Oh
happen. So
yeah. We'll only tell you the funny things. That's it. Like, I've just decided that, I mean, you can, there's two different people in the world, the people that focus on everything negative, and then the people that don't. And I've had a, even my daughter's like, it's okay to get upset and cry, and I'm like, yeah, but it there's a need to release every once in a while. But we've decided that we're gonna try and live as happy as possible,
that's good.
because it just works, and I don't want to be sad and negative all the time. So we're gonna post the happy things. If there's something that's horrible, I don't want to post it on. There's enough negativity on social media. Like, let me be the person that shows you all the dumb, stupid, funny things that happen to us. Like, it's okay. Like, it's okay to be happy. You don't have to be negative.
Yeah, that's true. Laugh at ourselves.
All the time.
Thanks, Tara, for being on here. I just adore you. So I'm so happy that we finally got to do this.
Anytime.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Truths We Hide podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Call Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.